It's 7:21 here on AM 1160 The Quest. I am Allison DeLole, and I have my co-host Josh Harris along with me, as well as Father still away from All Saints Catholic Church in Dunwoody. Welcome back, Father.
Great to be back with y'all. Good morning.
In conclusion of the past one, we are coming into what were the graces of the Eucharistic Congress that you had attended?
Oh, man, there's so many. So you're going to have to hold me back, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, just as ever so brief recap, there was the 10th National Eucharistic Congress back in the end of July. An incredible experience, a beautiful experience, the church coming together in the United States, all centered around the Lord. So many graces, and I'm going to struggle to find a place to begin, but like one of the things that I found to be so particularly moving was the liturgical life of this Congress. Mm-hmm. The whole idea was to be around the Lord, to be learning about the Blessed Sacrament, how Jesus gives himself to us in the most holy Eucharist, but to experience it. Wow. Was the experience of Jesus Christ present in the Eucharist, and we did that as we always do, that you have Eucharistic adoration, and then, of course, the source and the summit of our faith, which is the celebration of the Eucharist, the Mass. Those two were the hinges of the day. A big, powerful, beautiful Mass in the morning, this revival session in the evening that always included a Eucharistic holy hour of adoration. Wow. And what really moved in me so profoundly each day was recognizing, let's say, how wide the umbrella of the Lord's church goes. Mm. And in terms of the prayerful expression of the people, of how the liturgy itself is structured and the ways that we can pray and encounter the Lord through the Eucharist. So as a for instance, like I feel like one of the great things about this Congress was people getting exposed to so many different ways to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. We had in these holy hours in the evening, there was a lot of praise and worship music. It was actually kind of a weird thing seeing Carmelite nuns who normally live lives of, you know, great austerity and silence, but them sitting there and just entering, clapping their hands, you know, to different praise and worship songs and whatnot. But you had these evenings that were just loaded with praise. So a lot of the contemporary Christian music. But then the next night, the holy hour was led by this group Floriani, four men, friends who came together with the same mission and desire to see a revival of chant and polyphony within the liturgy. Some of it was just this beautiful, haunting kind of quality of just like you're entering into the mysterious and the sacred, just the silence. And then with their polyphony and their chant just stirs on just a different level. And then another night, the holy hour, there was a lot of devotional prayer that was said. So there was some music, the typical, you know, the O Salutaris and the Tantum Ergo. But then in the heart of that holy hour was being led through different devotions, like a litany of healing. Mm. So this priest, Father Boniface Hicks, a Benedictine and great author and great speaker, leading the church in this beautiful litany of healing, of healing for ourselves, healing for our nation, healing for our church. In just those holy hours, we haven't even gotten to the masses and the liturgies yet, but just in those holy hours, this incredible expression of the ways the church prays and giving people an experience of all of it. As pertains to the masses in particular, you had the full gamut there as well. The first day was Cardinal Dolan celebrated a big mass in the stadium.
Wow.
He's hard to describe. He's a jovial kind of grandpa is the best way I can put it. He's a smart, wicked intellect, a great, great intellect.
Great wit too.
Great wit. He's a storyteller. A lot of just jokes and everything. But brought into the celebration of the liturgy. The next day, the big mass for everybody in the morning was a liturgical prayer called the Holy Corbana, which is the prayer, the central Eucharistic liturgy of the Syro-Malabar Rite of the Catholic Church. And I realized I probably just threw out a whole bunch of terms that people are like, what in the world is that? The Catholic Church, as St. John Paul II said, has two lungs and it breathes with two lungs, the West, which is Roman Catholicism. And then you have the East as well, which is like the Byzantines, the Syro-Malabar.
The Melkite.
But anyway, you've got these churches of the East that were founded by the apostles themselves that are in union with Rome.
Yeah.
They share all the same theology. They share the understanding that Peter had pride of place among the apostles. And so there's even among, they are apostolic in themselves. They have a deference to the Bishop of Rome as the successor of St. Peter. But anyway, the liturgy that second day was the Holy Corbana, which is a very Indian celebration. It comes out of the Syro-Malabar Rite, comes out of southern India. I've never in my life have even experienced anything like that. Their music, their style, their prayers, it all felt comfortable. You can see the Catholicism all over it, but it's so different.
Wow.
It's just the structure is slightly different. The way the prayers are prayed is different, but it's at the same time all the same. Mm-hmm. You had those kind of experiences. They even had an offering of the traditional Latin Mass too. Mm-hmm. So the pre-Vatican II Mass was offered, and something like 600 people went to that.
Wow.
They had Masses that had the praise and worship music at it. They had Masses where Floriani was singing. They had Masses where it was more of your contemporary, just parish life, mm-hmm. like breaking bread, hymnal, and these kind of things. So it was a great grace. One of the top graces was the experience of the universality of the church and the way that so many different hearts all come together to worship the Lord in the Eucharist.
So let's say I'm a college kid at that experience for the first time. Obviously, you knew the vocabulary, you knew the rhythm of a lot of things, but let's say someone's not blessed enough to have 7 years, or maybe your case, 8 or 9 years of academic faith-based schooling on a graduate level. What do you think they're taking away from that from a prayer perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. Most people I saw were deeply moved. There were so many people at so many moments in tears, just like the Lord wow. doing healing things in their heart through these prayer experiences. Mm-hmm. And you can't diminish the idea that the people have different tastes. I can't remember who told me this, but there's a Latin phrase, de gustibus non disputandum. On the matter of taste, there is no discussion. Because everybody's got what they like, and they like what they like. But this kind of opened people up. Just about everybody would acknowledge that this was a powerful recognition of all these different forms of prayer.
Mm.
They each feed in their own way. Wow. So I think like a typical college kid would probably be like, stereotypically, you're finding right now that a lot of college kids are leaning more towards, they want to know and experience the tradition of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody was turned away. Not anybody that I saw at the Congress that was turned away. They're like, this may not be my cup of tea, how I like to pray at home or when I go to church. But it's like, I see the value here. They're encountering the Lord. And the same on the other end. People who are all about even expressive prayer or something, maybe more charismatic or something like that. And hearing the chant, you appreciate the beauty wherever it comes from. Like that's yeah. why beauty is transcendent. Like it speaks for itself. It's an objective reality that just smacks us. And absolutely. It's how the Lord speaks.
I saw this video, I believe it was Matt Maher playing, and that stadium just looked stuffed to the brim, and everybody is rocking out in reverence. I mean, a reverent rocking out.
Yeah.
Reverently rocking, maybe. Well, you know.
Well, that was another hugely grace-filled moment. Matt Maher was up there before the adoration began and just leading people in his songs, you know, that he'd written in the early 2000s and whatnot. And you had kind of this Christian mosh pit. Just people that wanted to be up by the stage and be close to Matt Maher, and Sarah Kroger was singing with him too. Then he's like, we're going to move this away from a concert kind of idea. And we want this to be prayer. He's like, this last song I want to sing is one that everybody here knows. Some of you love it. Some of you probably don't. But let's have this be a moment where we make a new memory with this song. And he let everybody in the song, Here I Am, Lord. Mm. Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I've heard you calling in the night. I'll go, Lord, if you lead me. With him singing that, and then the whole stadium just kind of entering into this one song together where everybody knew the words, everybody. It moved me deeply. And it's wow. like that was a, if I may be so bold to say, it kind of felt like a healing moment in the mm-hmm. church. And that I'll just, in total transparency, it's not one of my favorite songs under the sun, but it was a beautiful moment of the church praying together. And it's like, we're worshiping the Lord together. And it felt American. It felt Catholic. It felt comfortable because it's like, that's the church I've grown up in. It's the church I was ordained for. You know, this is us.
Father Silloway from All Saints Catholic Church, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
And we'll be talking tomorrow about more of your experience at the Eucharistic Congress. And now back to the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest.